more interesting questions from blog readers, answered by Bart D. Ehrman, read by John Paul Middlesworth. The intriguing questions keep coming. Here are some more that I've received. And by the way, if you're not a gold member on the blog, you might consider moving up to that level. One of the perks is that I do a live Q&A every month with gold members, which is recorded and then distributed to them. It's a terrifically fun event, and I get very good questions to address. But for now, here are some that I've addressed in writing. Question. This question is about the understanding of atonement across the Gospels. Specifically, why do Matthew and John think Jesus specifically had to die, in your view? Especially Matthew, since he is the one I struggle with most. Luke famously doesn't have atonement and thinks he had to die to bring people to repentance. I think Mark is a Pauline gospel, so it has his theology of Jesus' death being a ransom for Gentiles in mind. Matthew and John are the ones that I struggle with most, though. I think John says that it is meant to glorify God and provide proof of his mission. Matthew, I think, understands Jesus' death as opening the door to the Gentile world, but not being a ransom to absolve them of following Jewish law, unlike Mark and Paul. I think the parable of the wedding feast is good evidence that he thinks that Jesus first must be proclaimed in Israel, Matthew 10:16, but then, after his death, the disciples are now allowed to preach to the world in preparation for the end times due to the crucifixion, Matthew 28:18-19. Do you think this is right? Thank you. Response. I think Matthew pretty much has Mark's view. It too, for example, has Jesus say that he has come to, quote, give his life as ransom for many, unquote, and a similar Last Supper pronouncement that Jesus' death is for many, and has the temple curtain ripping at the time of death. John's view appears to be that Jesus had to die for others, and that he was to lay down his life for his followers. See the Good Shepherd Discourse in chapter 10, for example. And he portrays Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, 1:29 and chapter 35. He appears to think that the Passover lamb slaughtered on Passover was an atoning sacrifice, even though it wasn't, and that Jesus was the Lamb. That's why he dies on the same day and the same hour as the Lamb, in John's Gospel only, chapter 19, verse 14. But why that is necessary is confusing, since throughout his ministry, Jesus teaches that eternal life comes to the one who believes he is sent by God into the world in order to teach the truth, not that it comes to one who believes in his death and resurrection. And the truth, he describes, is that he has come from above to reveal the truth. So why does he need to die? My guess is that John is wrestling with two ways of understanding of how Jesus brought salvation: incarnation and teaching versus death and resurrection, and includes them both without realizing they are in tension. I would not, by the way, say that Luke famously doesn't have an atonement. Most NT scholars don't seem to realize that. I've spent about 20 years trying to convince some of them. Question. I was wondering what the scholarly consensus is on Jesus' references to the Son of Man. I was reading Helen Bond's book, The Historical Jesus, and she suggested Jesus was talking about himself whenever he referred to Son of Man. I always found that confusing, as Jesus seemed to sometimes refer to Son of Man in the third person, but sometimes seemed to apply the title to himself. I really like the idea that the church or gospel authors adjusted Jesus' words on this to make it sound like Jesus was referring to himself, when in fact Jesus had another person/being in mind altogether. Response. Yes, the view Bond, who is a very fine scholar, put out is probably the most widely held one, but I don't think it's right. There are huge debates about what the phrase Son of Man means on the lips of Jesus, and which of the Son of Man sayings he actually said, and which were put on his lips by later storytellers. It is interesting that when he refers to the Son of Man as the cosmic judge of the earth, he does not appear to be talking about himself. Mark 8:38, 13:26-27. Since the storytellers thought he was the future judge of the earth, it does not seem like those sayings would be ones they would have made up. So I think they are the ones he said, that he called God's future judge the Son of Man, based on Daniel 7:13-14, but that after death, when his followers thought that he had been raised from the dead and exalted to heaven, they naturally concluded he was the one God would send. He was the Son of Man. The natural result was that they reported non-historical sayings in which he referred to himself with the term. That is why the Gospels, much later, report him using it as a self-designation. Question. I have read that most modern translations on, quote, first day of the week, unquote, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are mistranslated from Greek, which is one of the Sabbaths. These writers claim it is assumed Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and therefore, by circular reasoning, arrive at the conclusion that Sabbaths can be translated as the first day of the week. Jesus, they say, rose from the dead on Saturday, not Sunday. One even claims Jesus rose from the dead Saturday morning before sunrise. They claim there were two Sabbaths the week Jesus died, so that when the scripture places the death as the day before Sabbath, it is the annual Sabbath it is referring to. Can you help? Response. Yeah, it's tricky business. The word Sabbath does appear to come to mean a week in some contexts in early Christian writings. I think it has to mean that, for example, in Luke 18:12, I fast twice of a Sabbath, that is, twice a week. The word especially gets used that way when it is in the plural, as in the Didache 8:1. The hypocrites fast on the second and fifth of the week, literally Sabbaths, but you should fast on the third and fifth. I don't know of any other usage like this in Jewish texts. But I do think it has to mean that in the resurrection narratives. Mark explicitly says that Joseph of Arimathea buried Jesus on the late afternoon of the day before Sabbath, that is, Friday. See chapter 15, verse 42. Then he says that the Sabbath was over when Mary, and Salome came to bury the body. 16:10. And then he indicates that this was on the first of the Sabbaths. 16:2. That is, the first day of the week, Sunday. It can't mean on the day of the Sabbath, Saturday, itself, because he has just said that the Sabbath had ended. 16:1. So the tomb is discovered on a Sunday. Why Christians started using the term Sabbath and Sabbaths to mean week is an interesting question. I don't know. But there's no evidence that I've ever seen or heard that there could be two Sabbaths a week. I think the person who said that might have just gotten something confused.